Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
And if you eat him, you partake of him, you trust in him, you won't die. You'll have everlasting life. And we understand the resurrection at the end, and I won't really get into eschatology, but we understand when Jesus comes back, at some point everybody in the ground is going to come up. And again, there's a lot to it. There are stages, won't get into it, but those that don't know God, they're going to rise up from the graves and stand before him and be told all they did wrong, and they won't have an answer, and they'll be consigned to hell forever. But those that live for God, they too will have a resurrection, and instead of standing and saying, "Well, this is all the stuff you did wrong," yeah, fine, they did wrong, I understand, I've done things wrong, you've done things wrong. But they'll be able to stand and say, "Yes, but I did that, but I trusted in Jesus Christ when I was 19 or 42 or whatever the case. Believe in him. Believe that he died for me." And God the Father will say, "Yeah, that's right. He did. He paid for your sins. You get to go free. Come on. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Hallelujah. Delivered from Egypt? Well, we can be delivered from sin. Let's not complain about the provision from heaven. Let's not complain about the lot we happen to find ourselves in. Let's put our trust in him and be satisfied. We'll be satisfied in heaven. And right now, if you're born again, your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will go to heaven. When you leave and get hit by a car, or if you live another 50 years and die the natural way, whatever the case, you're going to heaven. You're going to be satisfied, going to sit by the river of life there. Then be satisfied here. Don't murmur against God like the children of Israel did and receive plagues for their trouble. Bread from heaven. But let's move on. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.'" It's a symbol of my body. We understand the Lord's Supper. That's what this is. Let me say it's a symbol. A lot of folks get that confused. A lot of churches teach that incorrectly. The bread that you take and the wine that you take when you partake in the Lord's Supper is not, in fact, literally Jesus' body and blood. It's a symbol. Transubstantiation is not true. It's a symbol. You don't receive eternal life by eating bread and drinking a little bit wine or grape juice or whatever. You receive eternal life by trusting in what Jesus did on the cross for you. But he said, after he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave to his disciples as a sermon in itself. I probably preached it here. No, the bishops preached it. But he said, "Take and eat. This is, or represents, my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Again, the cup of wine symbolized his blood, which would later be shed. But it's shed for the remission of sins. We're sinners, but God washes away our sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that He died for us. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. He says something strange in verse 29, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He often, for 3.5 years, ate with his disciples. Every meal, every day. This was Passover. It's a special thing, a special kind of meal. And he used a portion of the Passover ceremony to take and eat and pass out and drink. Again, the Passover ceremony, it talks about God's deliverance from Egypt, which is what we said earlier. Again, it all ties into Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And as we're reading here, it was going to happen in just a few short hours. But he says, I'm going to drink now, tonight, but I'm not going to drink again till thousands of years later when we're all in the new kingdom. And it's been 2,000 years so far. Jesus has not in heaven drank wine, but he's got that cup ready and it's about to pour. Thank God the trumpet's about to sound. Thank God we're about to go to heaven. But then he says, and they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives in verse 31, that Jesus said, all shall be offended of me because of this night. Or all shall be offended because of me this night, should I say. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But then after I am risen, he says, I will go before you into Galilee. He was talking about the fact that he was about to be crucified. He was telling them, look, this is going to happen. After this, y'all go to Galilee, etc. Meet you there, what have you. And they didn't get it. They didn't understand. They certainly didn't want. They complained about, no, you know, don't say anything like that. You're not going to die. I mean, we say that today, you know, somebody gets sick in the hospital. And, oh, I'm not. No, you're not going to die. Right? The same idea. Nobody wants to die. They didn't want Jesus to die. But Jesus wanted to die. No, he said, let this cup pass from me. I understand that. But he willingly took up his cross and bore it. He willingly went to Jerusalem when they said, hey, you're going to get killed. He said, I know, that's right. Time for me to get killed. Again, he did it for us. I'm so thankful, so grateful. And Peter said, yeah, everybody else is going to get all offended because of that, but I'm not going to get offended. Jesus said, before the rooster crows 2 times, you'll deny me 3 times. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And likewise, everybody, all the disciples said the same thing. Well, we know the story. He was arrested, and they all head for the bushes, hide. Peter was asked, you know, you're his disciple 3 times. He says, no, I'm not, and cussed a bit. And then the rooster crowed. We know the story. Nobody wants to die. And it's a very brave thing that soldiers and what have you, they rush to the sound of the battle. But no sane person really, or nobody in the military or anything like that, rushes toward trouble. Cops and firefighters, I understand that, but every sane person runs away. But there's a duty. And Peter boasted, but in fact he denied. They all ran. But this special ceremony, again, he took the opportunity during the Passover Seder to do this. But this special ceremony, it speaks of a covenant. I don't have a lot of time to talk about a covenant. The word covenant is also the word testament. There's the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Old Covenant, New Covenant. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Jesus cut the New Covenant when he hung and bled on Mount Calvary. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For where a testament or covenant is, there also must of necessity be the death of the testator." Got a covenant, got a testament, somebody's got to die for that. We understand in the Old Testament it was the blood of bulls and goats. But the writer said it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Jesus had to die. He's the mediator of the new covenant. He had to die for it to be in force. Verse 17, "For a testament or covenant is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, but there is something called a token of the covenant. And when he said, "This is my flesh and my blood," he didn't drink all of it. He said, "It's the blood of the new covenant." When we take the Lord's Supper, as the disciple said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." When we take the Lord's Supper, some churches take it every Sunday, or some every first Sunday of the month, I don't remember when the last time we did it was. Well, whatever, but when you take the Lord's Supper, you're showing the Lord's death till he comes. You're calling back to the last supper, the Lord's Supper, when he said, "This is my blood, and this is my body," which he was fixing to spill and offer. And when we participate today, 2,000 years later, in the Lord's Supper, we're handling the tokens, the symbols of that covenant. Again, you pour the wine, it doesn't turn to his blood, as some teach. You put the wafer in your mouth, it doesn't turn to his body. That's foolishness. That's pagan foolishness, superstition, what have you. But it is a remembrance back to when he shed his blood for us. And his body was broken and beaten for us. But in John chapter 18, verse 10, when Jesus was arrested, it says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus." Imagine that. Peter started swinging a sword, and the guy's name is mentioned. How do you like that? Oh, it's just a servant, just a slave, but then again his name is mentioned. How do you like that? God remembers the littlest things. He said, "A sparrow fall out of the tree dead and hit the ground, die." And not one sparrow, and there are billions, billions and billions of birds on the earth today. Maybe trillion, I don't know. And God sees every one that falls to the ground and dies. Then he turns around, Jesus said, "But you are worth much more than any number of sparrows." God remembered this name. And every Christian on the planet's read his name, Malchus. You get into trouble, you get in a jam, you're sitting there and don't know what to do and all alone and etc. And God hasn't forgotten you. God remembers you. But Peter took his sword, going to defend the Lord, well, you know, he said he was not going to deny. We made a show of it, but of course later denied. We understand that, but he cut off this guy's ear. Verse 11, then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Again, the cup symbolized his blood, and he's saying, Jesus is, that this is the task that God the Father set before me. And I don't want to die. Lord, let this cup pass from me. But he said out of duty, the cup. Or, you know, they're arresting me now, they're going to beat me, pluck my beard, etc. Make me carry my own cross up a hill, and I'm going to die. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Thank God he did. Matthew chapter 27, verse 34, they gave him vinegar, the Romans did, to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And there's a bit of backstory there. Don't have time to do it. But eventually he did take a good long drink, and then he died. He went all the way. He was all in, I guess you could say. Thank God for it. But again, Paul in 1 Corinthians, we read the verse, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And how do you like that? The end of it says, till he come. There's a certainty that Jesus is coming back. He came the first time to get rid of sin, but the second time to welcome us into heaven. But Exodus chapter 25, starting in verse 23, God is giving instructions to Moses, would have you in the wilderness. Thou shalt make also a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Again, 1 cubit's of 18, 20 inches, would have you. Just a little table, a little rectangular table, made out of shittim wood. We said shittim wood was like cedar. It repels insects, whatever. It won't rot in that fashion. Indestructible wood, would have you. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereunto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of a handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places for the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. A lot of description, I understand, and we've gone through some of this before, the wood being overlaid with gold. We talked about the brazen altar some time back. It was wood, the same kind of wood, shittim wood, overlaid with brass. And it talks of Jesus. God from heaven came down to be a man. Wood is a symbol of humanity. The brazen altar, brass, a symbol of judgment. In this case, we're done with the judgment. It's wood overlaid with gold. And it's a symbol of the man, Jesus Christ, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. But in verse 29, and thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and the spoons thereof, and the covers thereof, and the bowls thereof, to cover withal of pure gold shalt thou make them. And this last verse, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. Now the table of showbread, we talked last time about the 7 golden candlestick. This was in the tabernacle. in the holy place, where the priests only could go. The sinner could come and bring his offering, come to God and say, I did that. Priest, you know, I want to get right. And they would sacrifice his animal, or whatever other kind of sacrifice. It's written in the book of Leviticus. It gives all the details of the sacrifices. And the Levites would assist the priest. But all of that was in the courtyard. The priests alone could go into the holy place. And the Holy of Holies, the high priest himself, could only go in only once a year on the Day of Atonement. But this was a place for those that had been forgiven. This was a place for those that were appointed to praise God, appointed to serve Him in His house. But it says, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. They would go in to do various things. Next week we're going to talk about the golden altar of incense. We talked about the candlestick. But while they were in there doing the various things, they were supposed to eat. And there were other things that they would eat. And again, I won't take the time to go through Leviticus, but some of the sacrifices, they would skin the animal a certain way. They would do various things. They would put it on the altar, the brazen altar, and burn it. Sometimes it was all burnt, all completely. Sometimes not all of it. And the times that it wasn't all burnt, they would take a little bit after it was roasted and bring it into the holy place. And with this bread, they would eat. Again, it's in the holy place. It's not in the courtyard, and it's not outside the camp. That's why when churches and ministers and deacons or whatever, they will serve the people when they do the Lord's Supper. They say, hey, you know, this is for Christians. You need to be born again. If you're not a Christian, you know, you shouldn't take this. And if you got sin in your life, Christian, you ought to do what the apostle said and get your heart right before you start taking this bread and drinking this wine or grape juice. I won't turn to the scripture, but it says that there were some that weren't right in their heart and they got sick and died because they ate and drank unworthily. It's just a little bit of bread, some kind of little biscuit or whatever. Just a little bit, just a half a swallow of wine or grape juice. But God sees it. And God calls it holy. It's the token of the covenant. And again, we have the witness of Scripture that those that were just fooling around, God made them sick, and some of them died. You say, I don't understand, or I don't believe. Okay, fine. But God takes the death of His Son seriously. But again, the priests would come in, and they would do their thing. And again, I don't have time to go through Leviticus. It's in great detail of what the priest was supposed to do, what have you. But they were supposed to eat this bread, which was before the Lord, always. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. This table of showbread foreshadowed and symbolized the Lord's Supper and the Passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even way back 3,500 years ago, however long it was, in the desert next to Sinai, God had in mind the night before Jesus died. And again, the whole Bible is about what Jesus did on the cross for us. And I'm so thankful for it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. I hope that we've gotten something out of it. I hope that we've learned. I hope that somehow you will apply what we've heard and learned to our heart. Help us to be more faithful Christians. Please do something in our heart based on what we've heard and hopefully understood. Please draw us closer to Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.